don't know how to start this one. I'm not feeling my usual chipper self.
Yeah, I totally know. I don't think I am either.
Like, it's been a really nice sunny week, and it just seems very ominous that today is a rainy, windy, grey day. Because frankly, I've just hit a wall this week where I am fed up. I am just sick of everything. I just wanted to stop doing this podcast. I just wanted to never go to group again. I literally just wanted to say, off, you know, insert a beep there. I don't swear. I leave that to Anna, off mic. But I just genuinely just hit a wall where I just couldn't be bothered.
Totally.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think most of the nation are feeling the same.
Yeah. So this is a podcast where we get real and talk about what to do when you fall out of love. And fortunately, my knight in shining armour, or what's the female equivalent? I don't really know.
I was going to say knighty, but that's not right, is it? Something you wear to bed?
Yep, a knighty in shining, sparkly armour. Anna, my consultant, has got some ideas of how she can vava-voom my mojo. And hopefully, I think I get the picture that some of you might be feeling a bit of the same. We'll share the reasons why, how, and what's going on in this episode in a mini-mo. But in the first place, here is some lovely ukuleles to warm our little cockles. So Anna, we've obviously got like a ton of comments, haven't we? Because we put on our Instagram at Slimming World Podcast, what do you do when you get stuck? And I was amazed. There was like 50 plus comments, loads of advice from members, from listeners of what to do. And actually, like, I didn't disclose that really it was mostly for us, wasn't it?
How can you help Anna and Claire when their mojo has gone?
Yes, and it was funny. Yeah, because a lot of them said listen to the podcast, and I was thinking, oh, I can't listen to myself.
No, I know exactly. I listened to one of ours the other day to try and put my mojo up. I was just like, I just need to switch myself off. I can't hear my own voice anymore. So, yeah, that didn't work. But thanks for the advice.
Yeah, but you know what? There was tons and tons of comments. And then later on that day, I shared a photo because I'd had to really go back to basics really and think about what are my positives for this journey, because I had to dig deep to find the reason why I needed to continue, because you know we commit to do this podcast every week, don't we? There's no holidays, there's no box sets or seasons. We have to be here doing this podcast every single week. And I think since we started being sponsored by Slimming World, I've definitely felt the weight and the pressure a little bit more to get back to being perfect and to get back to like moving towards target. And that hasn't really come. And that's why I kind of just, I had a cry on group the other day, didn't I? And I don't ever really cry, not openly, not in front of people.
I think the thing was the week.
Couldn't hold it in.
Yeah. And the week you had the cry, every Zoom had a cry. It was really interesting. It was like there was something in the water. And you know what you say about the pressure with the podcast? I felt that pressure a lot as a consultant, doing the podcast, all of it. And I think sometimes it's all right to feel the pressure and have a wobble, because that's just life, isn't it? It'd be weird if it was always all okay and sunny and we loved everything about losing weight and free food and food optimizing. I think that's not how the world goes. But I think sometimes you need a dip in confidence, a dip in motivation to really fall back in love with it. That's what I think. I always think like it's meant to happen so that you fall back in love with the most basic things about it.
Yeah.
I know what mm means, Claire, now. And having podcasted with you and known you for quite a long time, I know what mm means. Mm means I'm not quite sure I agree, but I'm not really ready to fight you on it. That's what I'm saying.
No, it's not. It's just, I don't like to get in the habit of saying the same thing, like as a reaction all the time, because, you know, like I do this for a living and I don't want to say, Yes, Anna. Fabulous, Anna. Brilliant. Brilliant. Oh. Amazing. You know, I don't want to get so, but now you've caught my word. Instead of having a word, I'm just making a repetitive noise.
Isn't it,
thanks.
Isn't it interesting how my insecurity, right, of my, what comes out of my mouth is like, she says, that means she doesn't like it. Like, I need your confirmation that it's okay. Like, isn't doing it for me. Do I ever need to be like, Anna, yes, great idea, or don't really agree with you on that because the is unstabilizing me. Stop it.
I mean, it could also mean that I'm hungry and I'm enjoying my food.
No, it means undecided.
No, sometimes I'm just thinking about what to say.
How are you?
So I just make a noise whilst my brain is processing. How do I get to the next bit? She's just said that. How do I get to the next bit?
Maybe
it's not that clever.
Maybe.
Do you know, but it's really funny you say that because my old housemate used to constantly say, this. And it always used to frighten me because I thought it was like a teacher telling me off, like I'd done something wrong. So it's amazing when you just... Like, particularly for a podcast, a lot of people might not know what we look like listening to this. So that, like, every little audio sound and voice and accent and everything we do is, like, magnified. Yeah. So they'll know when you're upset. They'll know when you're sad.
Oh.
You can't hide. The mic don't lie.
But, you know, I've noticed something. And sorry if this is really boring, but I did listen to last week's episode. I think I was on a walk. You know, I had nothing better to do. I say the phrase, I think, 7,846. Someone was saying that today.
That is really interesting because what I've been doing over the last year is I've been doing a lot more podcasts, editing them for other people. And I particularly work with a lot of women who are senior and experts in their field. And sometimes I work with guys as well. And the difference I always notice is that women will always start their sentences with I think, and on them mostly men do not. Women constantly question themselves, even when they're in a position of authority.
Yeah.
And I just think, because you start to get to notice. Yeah. You start to notice and pick up these small little things. Yeah, you kind of get to know people quite intimately when all you have is their voice. So,
I think you're right.
See, I just did there. Yeah, that's just what I say next.
So, sorry, guys, we've got that bit over with. Now you're going to spot. It's like when someone like points something out to you, you spot that all the time. So they're going to be listening for your ums and my I thinks now, aren't they?
Yeah. But the good thing is, I get to edit some of them out. So,
God, if that's the edited version. Jeepers creepers, what do I actually do in reality?
Well, you know, we said this podcast is about being real, so
it really is real.
So, you know, like the thing that I think I kind of hit the wall on, right, was here's the thing, I'm doing my exercise more than ever. I've been doing food diaries, I've been planning my food, I've been mixing it up. You know, I'm not eating chocolate and cake. I'm not drinking, I'm not having fatty meats or loads of milk, you know, for dairy, I've gone vegan. And it was just like, I just hit a wall the other day where I was like, I'm gaining. Like, what is going on? I physically cannot do anymore. This is doing my head in. And I just literally just smashed the scales. I didn't mean to hit the table then when the mic is. I just smashed the scales. I was like, for God's sake. And I just had to say to Matt, take these scales and put them somewhere in the house where I don't know where they are, because these scales and home weigh-ins, since we've been doing like lockdown weigh-ins, it is doing my head in. And I had to just say, take them away. Because I know you'd said this a few weeks ago too. Home weigh-ins, they ruin you because you do... without even realising, they're just there, aren't they? So every time you go to the toilet, because you're at home more, then you just think, oh, I will just have a weigh. And then in one day, you'll be like, wow, I've like lost 5 pounds this week. And then the next day, you'll be like 6 pounds heavier. And you're like, well, what is going on? And you just, I have drove myself insane, penalising myself and going mad.
I think they've done it. I believe... that the home weighing, for some people, I've got members that it doesn't, they weigh once a week, not bothered by it. Really not. Like, it doesn't do anything to them that's detrimental. For some of us, though, what it kind of does is stops us in the process and makes us more obsessed by the outcome. So actually, we're desperately trying to see if what we do at that moment gives us an instant reaction. And the thing I've learned over many, many years is how the body fluctuates. And weighing daily, you see that. You see what, you know, eating something that retains more water will do for your body. You see what, you know, time of the month for a woman will do. And it's that minutia that can really, really stop the process from happening, because at a subconscious level, it almost defeats you. So you start to sabotage for a lot of people, and they don't even recognize that they're sabotaging because it's at such a subconscious level. So I would say, if scales are frying your head in any way, shape or form, take them away. Take them away. Because you know what? Your genes are the best thing. And like we say in the Slim for Life book, eventually, as a target member, we want you to stop weighing and just go buy your jeans or your trousers or your dress or whatever, because we have to chart your weight to see how your weight loss journey is going. But if that is doing anything to your mental health, to your journey, remove it. You wouldn't eat something that made you vomit, would you? Consciously knowing. But we do that with the scales, and the pressure and stress and upset it causes is so massive that it stops you seeing what you've actually achieved.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was at. And so I've said to myself, for all of June, I'm stepping away from the scales. I'm going to turn up to group. I've paid you up front for my group and for the whole month. So I know I'm going to turn up, and I'm just going to take a chill pill, because I realise it's 125 weeks that I've been doing Slimming World since I started January 2018, I think it was.
Yeah.
And so every week I have been weighing, and I think I started to let it rule my head a little bit. I started to let the numbers, rule my head. And so I did a couple of things in my journal this week, you know, aside from like stuff that you're going to get into, these 10 tips. So I would definitely say, if you've got a piece of paper, this is probably an episode that you want to listen to, sat down with a cup of tea and a pen and paper.
Not a biscuit.
Yeah, not a biscuit, unless it's in your sins.
Yeah.
So the first thing I did was I wrote out my weight loss positives, and I actually surprised myself. Some of them are minutiae. Like, I haven't had any colds, coughs or flu for 2 years.
Wow.
You know, the pain that I used to have in my knees and my lower back, I was having acupuncture. I haven't needed any of that. IBS. Oh my God, you know, by 2-3 o'clock, I'd look like I'd gone from not pregnant at all to 8 months pregnant, about to give birth. And I had to sit there in the office, like, you know, sliding under the desk, like, you know, discreetly trying to like zip my trousers down or something. And then you just slip into the leggings anyway, don't you? Just in the leggings, who knows what you weigh, how many inches you are. And I just kind of remembered, got in touch with some of those. And the other thing I've done is, I don't know if you can see, but behind me, I've got all of my certificates. And I realised, because I haven't had a certificate for nearly a year, I can't find my blue tack, but I've got them. They're there. And, I've realised I have had Slimmer of the Week. I have had Slimmer of the Month. I have done bronze, silver, gold body magic. Mm-hmm. I've done the half stone, one stone, one and a half stone, two stone, two and a half stone, three stone, three and a half stone, four stone, four and a half stone, five stone. And I've also been Woman of the Year and Miss Linky. And I was like, I forgot all that stuff.
Not done much, have you?
No, not at all. And it just kind of gave me a bit of a reality check. But then what I also did was, and I don't think I've showed you this yet. Oops. That'll be a little football falling on the floor. on my new journal, I love it when you get a new journal.
Oh, I love a new book. Ooh,
this one feels so nice. Ooh, like I could just stroke it all day, which you can in lockdown because, you know, no one sees you.
Can you imagine a new listener just tuning in right now? Hi, this is Claire. She strokes her journal all day. Like, is that a euphemism? No, it's what she really does.
Yeah, so on one side of the paper, I wrote down the thoughts that I was saying, and on the other side, I flipped it. So over the course of a day, I wrote my thoughts. They went something like this. I'll never get to target. Other people lose weight, but I don't. I'm a failure, always was, always will be. I don't deserve to be 6 stone lighter. Where did this number even come from? It has to be that number or nothing. If I don't get my 6 stone certificate, I've failed. What if I just settle? Will that let every listener down, be a cop out? Maybe this plan doesn't work anymore for me. I've still got a belly, a donut and fat thighs. I can't run. I'm rubbish and I'm slow. Blah, blah, blah. Do you know what I mean? I can't continue, but I can't go back again. If I keep planning, writing down, analysing, surely, surely, surely it's got to work eventually. I can't eat cake and pizza and burgers. I'll be happy when I'm Target. Do you know what I mean? Like, it goes on. These are the thoughts I had over the course of a day.
I think you just opened my mind. Just, you know, edit a few other things. And I think most of our listeners have probably been in that headspace, haven't they?
Just when I actually wrote it down, I was quite horrified. Because I think when you put it to paper, it's like, oof. And then the next day, I got a different colour pen, as you do. I like it to be colourful, and I put reality. And then and next to each thought, I went through and I put, okay, let's really look at what the reality is. I'll never get to Target. I'll switch to, I'm paused, but not over. My journey will continue in time. Other people lose weight, but I don't. I put, I have lost tons of weight and will after this pause in time. I'm a failure, always was, always will be. I've overcome huge hurdles and always strive for the best. So, you know, just it goes on, but it made me work a bit harder to think, okay, let's reframe this.
Totally. And it's, I think it is just recognising, like, I think what you've done is so brave, because it's recognising what actually goes through your head, how that then impacts the daily life, your relationships, but also the food that you may or may not put in your mouth. And it's that type of programming and negative thinking that so many of us do that then has the detrimental impact on how we feel about our bodies and how we feel about food optimizing. Because effectively what you're doing, and it could be any eating plan you're following, it doesn't have to be Slim and Wild and food optimizing, when you feel you're not getting success, we always like to apportion blame to other things because it makes us feel better. Does that make sense? A thing that I've had to really work on is actually any plan will allow you to lose weight. You know, science, be at a calorie deficit, you lose weight. However, not every plan will allow you to maintain that weight because of the structure of it. You just can't maintain it. But it's where your head is and how you allow yourself to deal with the plan that will see you achieve your goals. So when you first hit the plan, you're feeling positive, you're feeling excited, you're feeling encouraged. You've got the motivation of what your future holds keeping you there. When you're 125 weeks, 26 weeks in, you've seen that actually the reality of weight loss is A, really tough, but B, there isn't a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that you perhaps believe there is the moment you start it. So I think allowing yourself to explore where your mind is taking you, what that does is allow you to see A, where you've come from, but B, maybe we need to adjust the thinking so that it doesn't happen again.
I'm so sorry. Can't help it, can I? Sorry. Oh, God. I know, I agree. That is, I totally agree with that. It's unfortunately, I don't always like it.
No.
because I want that magic pot of gold.
Yeah. And I think
I'm very reward driven.
I know. You know.
Throughout my life, I've always been someone who, okay, like, you know, when I was a kid, I learned musical instruments. I did grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, grade 5. I, you know, aspired to be like student of the year or something like that. I was a nerd. I chased those achievements. And now this feels like the hardest thing I've ever done. And you're telling me that there is no magic pot of gold. There's no trophy. I mean, there's a certificate. Is that it?
Yes.
There's a part of me that feels that, right?
So,
and I'm like, are you kidding?
It's so interesting. So I know. This comes from, so I was very severely, well, I don't know if you grow out of it or you just learn coping mechanisms, dyslexic. So I was never reward driven at school and in my life because my parents worked so hard on, Anna, you as a success is not measured by these rewards and accolades. Because when you're dealing with a child at 8 that can't read, you know, with a child that's dyspraxic and dyslexic and can't ride a bike and tie their own shoelaces and, you know, falls over just standing up, you have to find another way to be recognised. So I have never, as a person, chased these awards and accolades. So I find it so interesting when people struggle that they haven't got it, because what I've always been brought up to believe in is that actually you and the way that you feel about what you've done is the success and is the accolade. So I get gratification from just doing it and actually not and getting through it. Whereas what you need is someone to say, well done, Claire, you're achieving, it's brilliant. And that is not wrong, but that almost what that does in your head is makes you feel that you failed if you're not getting it.
And that's, I think, one of the hardest things as you get closer to your ideal weight, because less people that you see kind of say, oh, wow, you look so different. You look great, because it becomes who you look like. Mm. It's just how you are. So all those little, they're called strokes, aren't they, in the psychology world? Those little strokes that you used to get start disappearing. And that's, I think, when you kind of start to just get a bit.
Mm. Well, then you have to strip back, actually. Is living in this new body, is who I am now enough? Yeah. And actually, that's a really hard thing to go, I'm actually okay. Look at me. I'm okay. I've lost this weight. And this is what it is. Like, I remember when, you know, I've been in a relationship for quite a few years. You know, when you've been with someone for quite a long time, you don't have that spark and crazy, you know, excitement that you have when you first meet someone. And I remember really struggling with that and thinking, well, does that mean that this isn't love? This isn't what it is. No, it's just a totally different phase and a totally different feeling. And yet those slippers that are a bit more worn at the back doesn't mean they're as amazing, they're not as amazing as those ones that you bought that were fresh out of the box and all fluffy. I think it is settling in that new version of yourself and getting reward and recognition from the fact that you did it and you're doing it.
Yeah. You know, thinking like a bit more visually, I'm a words person. I enjoy journaling, writing words, writing lists, things like that. But everybody works differently.
Yeah, I do.
What really opened my eyes on email, thank you to Kim, who sent us an incredible email where she'd been listening to the podcast and really thinking about her why. She got to Target and then slipped back out of Target, and now she's working back to get to Target. So she had to kind of just forgive herself, and it's just new journey, get back, knows what she needs to do. But to help her and get in contact with her why, she drew some pictures and she sent them to us. And I will share them on our Instagram, actually, in the next few weeks. I got her permission to do this. It says on the top, what I know about me. And the paper is split in two halves. A picture that she's drawn of herself from behind in February 2016 with 5 stone to lose. Wow. And then where she is in 2020 right now, with having lost 3 stone and she's 2 stone to Target. And it's amazing. Her hair looks a bit different. And then she's kind of written over her body all these kind of little different phrases, like on her knees, she's put, my knees hurt. On her legs, I can't walk far. Fat ankles on her ankles. What else she put? I hate food, I don't cook. I heat food, I don't cook. I'm tired all the time, my back hurts constantly. I drink too much, I eat too much cheese. So she's kind of put these little phrases in her hair, all over her body, and done it in different colours. And then with her new, where she is now, she's put, I do Pilates every day, makes my back feel better, I'm more flexible, I have energy. I'm not at Target yet. I feel motivated. My knees are okay. I can walk. I can run. I love clothes. Yeah, you know, it's just, it's a really nice visual thing. And she's also sent another photo with her why, which is two women on a beach, one kind of hidden, not showing her face, covered up, a bit bigger. And the other one looking cool with glasses, nice big hat, looking confident in a pink bikini. And it just says, I don't want to be the biggest person on the beach. And that's her why. And I thought that's interesting because, you know, it works different for different people. Whatever you have on that piece of paper in front of you, whatever pens you have, crayons, just get it out.
Mm.
And what works for me is lists, but yeah. What worked for Kim was drawing.
I love that. And I think sometimes what we don't give enough kind of credit to is what our bodies can actually do and how incredible they are, that they can, you know, not only lose weight, but they can, you know, how they function. And maybe I have a different perspective on it because I've been so seriously ill, and I'm just thankful for my body for still being here. But we take it for granted, don't we, that our bodies are so exceptional and is such. Can you imagine if you could create a computer that was as technically amazing as your body? Like, you'd be the richest person in the world. You'd be, you know, it's just so you can't even think of a machine that would be that incredible. But we lose sight of that. And what we look at is the exterior, and we berate ourselves if the exterior isn't our version of where we want it to be or our version of perfect. Whereas when you strip it back and actually say, oh, my heart is beating and that is keeping me alive, you know, my brain is allowing thought processes to happen, and you take it away from the aesthetic side, that sometimes takes the pressure off as well. So, you know how yours is lists and that lovely listeners was the drawing. Mine is really focusing on actually what my body can do, and that helps, or can't do. You know, like Kirsty the colon, she's behaving at the moment, but who knows what next week is going to bring.
And then see, I've signed up again to do the silver body magic award. I've gone back to basics. You need to do it with me.
I'm doing bronze. So I've got my last week of bronze, and then I need to kind of rethink a schedule, because what I'm really struggling with is activity and fitting into my lifestyle. Like anybody out there with a toddler, Claire and I had a socially distanced meetup, right? And she encountered my 3-year-old. And you can see how it's really hard to do anything, you know.
Hey, I mean, I know you can't go on a trampoline, but I walked away having done 20 minutes activity. Tick on the Silver Body Magic Award. It was brilliant.
Well, Claire.
And I didn't squash your child, so I felt like that was a win.
And she washed your car. But what I'm finding is that it's really tough for me to get my time. And I've tried being active at home, but actually I can't do it when she's here. So I'm trying to work on this. Where I can go out and do some activity. So I need to do some thinking about it, because at the moment what I'm setting out to do isn't happening, and then I'm feeling a bit rubbish that I'm like, oh, I haven't done it today.
Yeah. So here's what other people are saying to us. When I posted on Instagram, it kind of made me smile. I was like, oh, thank God I'm not alone. Sam, oh my God, this is so me. Help. Nix said, but she's lost 5.5 stone, steadily losing 1 to 2 pounds a week until Christmas 2019. Up the body magic, did a 10K on New Year's Day.
Oh my God.
It's a huge thing for her. Upped her body magic more and started training for a half marathon.
Wow.
And then the weight stopped moving. It would go up and down 1 to 2 pounds a week. So frustrating. And she's still where she's at, was at Christmas. She can now run half a marathon. The event was cancelled in March. She was gutted and has kept up the running. She ran in 40 mile per hour winds, a half marathon in 2 hours and 23 minutes.
Amazing.
She couldn't have done that before. Wow. Neither could she do a 50K bike ride with her husband, which she did last Wednesday. So she's gone back to basics. She's dug out a book. She's planning all her meals. She's starting June afresh. She says she's got £10 to target, and she's hoping that will help her get there. Maybe knowing that I'm helping others might make me be spurred on too.
Mm.
Kind of, but I also just feel like the pressure. That's the thing.
You know,
what else we got?
Claire.
Let me just run through these quick. Right. Lucy, I can't seem to shift the last stone. Sammy, this is so me right now. Barbara, I was as frustrated with myself fighting for that last stone for a long, long time. I was crying, but I never gave up. Today, I'm in target, so head up and keep going.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I could go on. There are, I'll read some more in a second. Go on, what are you going to say?
You know, I think both of us have been feeling the pressure of our success almost, haven't we? Like, without wanting to sound like arrogant or anything like that, like, for us, this was born on your kitchen table, and where we are today is never where we dreamed. And I think what we have done, both of us, and this hasn't come from any parties, it's really interesting, is we feel like we've got to be some beacon of perfectness and like, they did it. Oh my God, look what they achieved. When actually, look what one of our gorgeous members in group said. She said, the reason we relate to you is because you haven't lost 4 stone in 14 minutes. You have lost all the weight. You have regained it. You've lost it again. And I think maybe what both of us need to do is take our own blinking advice and just be like, look what we've achieved, because it's us putting this pressure on us and it's us feeling like we've got to be something that perhaps we don't feel we are right now. And actually, we're good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, sister.
I didn't say.
I know.
I said, yeah.
Right.
I'll get there. It's just a process, isn't it?
Fine.
But, you know, I think a lot of people probably feel like that. You know, we've got used to hating ourselves for so many years that actually it's quite a hard thing to like yourself.
It's weird.
Love yourself feels a bit too much, but like myself, I think I could work on that.
Yeah, I think. Well, what I know, a lot of consultants listening out there feel the same, like feel that they've got to be successful slimmers who motivate and inspire other people. In my experience of having had some brilliant consultants, what inspired me was that they got it. What inspired me was that despite the challenges they'd faced, they still kept going. And I think for me, that's what I look for in someone who is successful, is the not quitting. You know, the fact that I'm keeping going. It's not really going the way I want right now, but hell no, I'm not giving in.
Yeah, I mean, like looking through some of these other comments here, like Diet Princess says, I'm the same. I exercise, I'm eating on plan, I haven't lost a pound of weight all lockdown. If I have one more person tell me that's a bonus, I will scream. I mean, I do get that. What we've got, Sylve has talked about her finding things tough at the moment. She's at the 9.5 stone to 10 stone is the most difficult part of her journey. She's going through the menopause, her star week is all over the place. She doesn't know if that's having an impact. She's just concentrating on little steps. What else have we got here? Hang on. Claire says, going back to basics, she makes sure she measures the healthy extra A and B. She writes down everything in a book. Frankie says, I do a food diary, ask my consultant and group members for help. Nora says she makes a 2-day plan using her mantra, less sinage, more spinach.
Oh my God.
Or there's another one, change my scenery and eat more greenery.
Less spinach, more spinach. Oh my gosh.
You need that on a t-shirt, Nora.
That is going in my groups this week. Oh my, thank you for that. Can I take that, like, free food is your friend?
Less sinage, more spinach, change my scenery, eat more greenery. I mean, we have actually got a rap to read. I think I need a bit more practice, but Roseanne sent us a rap. And remember we said about the rap a few episodes ago, and we were like disappointed that nobody came back with the end. Oh yeah, we've got a rap now. What was interesting was a lot of people were saying how if you don't tell your group or your consultant, how can they help? And I find that quite interesting. Like, I mean, gosh, I'm scrolling through here. There are hundreds of comments. If you need a little bit extra more than this podcast, go to the Instagram post and just read through all those, because one of those bits of advice will help you right now. But you, for your virtual group, a couple of weeks ago, came up with this kind of 10-step plan, didn't you? And we've kind of made some grand promises that eventually we're going to talk about this. And we've talked for, what, 35 minutes, and I suppose we'd better get on with it. I mean, most people, we just want answers, Anna. We want answers. Tell us what to do. We'll do it, and then we'll get this. I mean, I know that's not necessarily the case, but I'm intrigued because I kind of know what's on this list already, but we thought this is something that we think would be great for the podcast too. So give us a bit of a background. Where has it come from? Is it something that's come out your head?
Yeah, well, most of it has, or bits that I've read and kind of put together. So I'm really into kind of understanding the psychology around how we feel as slimmers, how we feel of people who have lost a lot of weight, not lost a lot of weight, gained a lot of weight, where our heads are at, and how you can lose weight but keep it off, because what I've experienced in my journey as a slim ad, but also as a consultant, is watching people not keep their weight off when they've lost it. And the more I've done research in lockdown, what I've realised is that people become, me included, really, really used to focus on this, on the minutiae, on that number, and actually how that can just totally derail your journey. So this was set up 10 steps so that you could get a really positive outcome and almost build up a positivity bank in your head. Because what I had noticed about myself was how the negative speak was coming in and how I was ruining really happy events because I was just talking to myself so negatively about myself and my weight loss journey. So that's how it was born.
So we're going to take some, like, make some little photos or post-it notes or something. We'll come up with some snazzy way to share this as a highlight on our Instagram page. So if you don't catch all of this, we'll share it as a post there. But do you want to run through, so then, you know, if people have got pen and paper, they can write these out and then maybe take a bit of time to kind of go and think of what the answers would be?
Yeah, I think when we've done this, so I did this in 6 sessions and I saw how each session it kind of evolved differently. So give yourself half an hour, 40 minutes to sit down and really think about these things. And it may be that there's something in it that really kind of stands out for you, and that's the first place you want to start. It's not in any particular order, it's just the order I've said. So step number one is to write down right now, as you listen to this, 3 reasons why you want to lose weight. Not why the doctor says you should lose weight, not why you think you should lose weight, but 3 reasons why you want to lose that weight. We know when you have strong reasons and a strong want that keeps you motivated. And sometimes it is not having that reason in the forefront of your mind that can kind of allow you to be swayed or, you know, derailed quite easily. When you start out on a weight loss journey, those reasons are normally really strong and driven a lot by unhappiness in the want to change. And when those reasons are kind of changed or you've hit those goals and you've achieved them, it's very important that they are then readdressed and realigned. With these 3 reasons, a very important thing to do with them is keep looking at them. So put them as a screensaver on your phone, put them on the kitchen cupboard, put them in your journal, put them next to the TV or next to the chocolate biscuits, but keep looking at those 3 reasons. 3 of the reasons I had were my thighs rubbing together. Don't like it. It's not a nice feeling. And you don't really recognize that until the sun comes out, do you? Like, you know, they don't rub together in Lycra. So noticing that was a really strong kind of reason. Come on, Anna, this last 11 pounds, it could really help with that. Also, I want to look back at photos for this summer and allow them to have happened, first of all, and also look back at them with joy, not at criticism. So I want to feel good. I also want to look good. I want to wear a dress where my arms aren't flapping in the wind. And I want to wear something that's tight and not just to wear something that covers me or, you know, kind of that just fits. So for me, my 3 top reasons, and I've got this written in 8 different places in the house, is to feel good, look good, and no more chub rub, you know.
Nice.
Your 3 reasons. The number 2 is set a realistic aim. You want to set yourself a realistic aim. What we know of slimmers and people who want to lose weight is that sometimes we're really quite unrealistic in our aims. You know, you want to wake up and the 3 stone being gone. You want to be fixed and the hard work be done. Now, while I'm not saying that you couldn't go and lose 2 stone in 2 months, that's very possible. What we've got to make sure is that your plan matches up with your realistic aim. So take away from the weight for a second. For some people, it may be a realistic aim of losing 2 pounds in a week. But for me, a realistic aim was to set out a set of things I knew I could achieve. So I live on a hill, and so I wanted to walk up and down the hill 3 times. I also wanted to plan my meals around my Speed Free food. So I knew that if I set those aims and I achieved them, rather than say, well, I haven't lost 3 stone in 33 seconds, therefore I failed. So the realistic aim is really about building up that self-confidence. Number 3, sometimes I think this is what you and I could do with kind of really focusing on, is looking at the process, not the end goal. So the process, not what you're looking to achieve at the end. Sometimes when you are losing weight, you're so driven by that number you're going to see on the scales, by that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow when you get to target, that you lose sight of the joy of the process. Well, actually, if we looked at your process, Claire, what have you enjoyed and done? Well, you now cook. You now eat fruit and vegetables that you never did. You now do exercise. Now, if we are, not saying you didn't exercise before, but you know, you do that as part of your lifestyle. If we were just focusing on the fact that you're not at target and your aim is to get to 6 stone, we'll lose sight of the amazing things that you've achieved and maybe the joy they've given you. Do you know, who knew that you could get so much joy from some fried bananas? Like, the joy that's given you, Claire, is immense, isn't it?
Hey, don't knock it. Banana peel rocks.
No, once this lockdown's over, I'm coming over and you can make me some. So focusing on the process and enjoying watching things change. So actually, you know, having lost a stone, for example, you can walk up the stairs quicker. You can get in a pair of jeans that you can get into 5 years ago, rather than saying, right, I've only lost a stone, but I've still got five more to go. The next one is one of my favorite things to do. When I've mentioned this on Instagram, the flurry of messages I've had has been mad. So this is called a food and mood diary. Number four, food and mood diary. So this is a very simple thing to do. There's no exciting bit of paper that I can give you. Piece of paper, you write however you want to do it. The time, like, so a section for time, a section for what you've eaten, and then a section for your mood. So what this allowed me to see very clearly was the times of the day and the week where I was eating emotionally and not for hunger. So emotional hunger comes up very, very quickly. It's fierce, it's normally angry, and it's like, feed me now, give me this now, I need to eat it. Whereas real hunger kind of is slow and steady. It comes up, it goes, oh, a bit peckish, okay. Oh yeah, a bit more peckish, I need to eat. But it's not angry and aggressive. So what this will allow you to see is there a pattern forming in the way that you eat and drink? So I was able to identify that around 11 to 12 o'clock, 3 to 4, and about 9 o'clock, these were my wobble zones, where I was either tired, stressed, felt a bit, and what I did was not reach for the free food, I reached for the sins. So by doing this for a week, I was really able to see that actually that was where I had the potential to derail my weight loss. So just writing down how your mood is connected to your food can also, excuse me, help you with, am I mindfully eating? Have I just eaten 14 tangerines today because they were there and I was feeling a bit sad, you know, and I just wanted to eat. So food and mood diary number four. Number five, celebrate your success. Get out there and celebrate the successes that happen. So tell me, Claire, what have you done successfully this week towards your weight loss journey?
I've completed my three exercises towards my silver body magic. Brilliant. Week one.
Love that. Right. So you have immediately found something that's good. What we know of people who want to lose weight is we need that positivity to stack up. So actually, today I had one packet of crisps and not eight. Rather than going, I had one packet of crisps, I shouldn't have had any. No, you used to eat eight in a day, I've only had one. Claire's done three bits of activity that have taken her towards her body magic. Actually, I made a spag bowl last night and I wouldn't normally put 1/3 speed free with it, but I did. You see, turning the negative, like you did with your journaling, into a positive, so that we can create a positivity bank, if you like, so that you can go, today, this is what I did that was great. That's number five. Number six, a public commitment. Research shows that people in any walk of life, in doing anything, if they want to achieve a goal, saying it out loud and publicly, whether it's to the dog, the cat, your next door neighbour, your group at Slimming World, publicly committing to something. So, you know, I said to my groups, these were why I wanted to lose weight, and my aim was to go and walk up this hill 3 times. Actually saying it made me accountable, made other people know I needed and wanted to do it. So actually that spurred me on, because I know that someone's going to say, Anna, hey, did you walk up that hill? But also they're going to celebrate the fact when I tell them that I walked up the hill, you know, I'd aim to do it. So publicly committing to what you want to do, whether it's something tiny, like, you know, I want to chop an onion today or whatever it is, publicly saying it means you're more likely to. So moving on to number 7, goes back to building up that positivity bank. It's about thinking and talking positively. So you can see how from your journaling, when you're in a negative mind space, what you're more inclined to do is then carry on thinking negatively. So this is really about setting your mind up first thing in the morning and last thing at night with positive kind of thoughts. So each morning, write down one positive about yourself and one positive about your weight loss journey. So each morning, writing down something that you're positive about your weight loss and positive about yourself. And then repeat that just before you go to bed at night. So it doesn't have to be something grand, like I've lost 5.5 stone, or, you know, I've transformed my body. It could just be, today I had 1/3 speed in every meal. Today I measured my healthy extra, and actually, my body is keeping me alive. That's a positive thing, okay? What we know is the times of day are really important. So doing it first thing in the morning is going to set you up to feel positive. Doing it last thing at night is going to allow the subconscious to have positive thought processes going through it, if you like. So that's 7, think and talk positively. Number 8 is something that I think really helps people to kind of know is going to happen, and that is plan for challenges and setbacks. So I know as a slewer, when I first started out, I thought, I'm just planning, it's going to be 100%. Nothing is going to knock me from this post. I'm going to be successful. Well, actually, in real life, what happens is challenges and setbacks do happen. You take the chicken out of the freezer and it's off. You know, you go to Tesco's or whatever supermarket you go to, and you go to buy the ingredients, and like you found in lockdown, they just don't have it. Or, you know what, you just absolutely lose your mojo and you order a pizza. It's planning in for those challenges and setbacks. So what the food and mood diary that you've done in the previous step will allow you to see is where your challenges and setbacks may happen, so that you can create a plan for them. So I know, I decide that after now I eat my dinner no later than 8:30, and I brush my teeth, because once I've brushed my teeth, I don't want to eat anything again. So the wobble zone at 9 doesn't happen now, because I've brushed my teeth and I've signified to myself that's the end of the day. For the 11 o'clock wobble, I know I've got fruit salad, pasta salad and rice salad in the fridge that I can grab if I need to eat. So that's step 8, planning for challenges and setbacks. Step 9, don't aim for perfection, aim for forgiveness. Mistakes and slip-ups do happen. So making sure that you've got an aim that is not perfect, but also if something does go wrong, you forgive yourself, okay? Because what we do as slimmers is we're programmed, and I hear this so much, is to say, oh, do you know what? I messed that up. I'll start again on Monday. Oh, just give it a week. Order the Domino's, order the pizza, get the bottle of wine out. So by setting yourself up to know that possibly you can't be perfect, it takes the pressure off. And then by forgiving, it allows you to move on. So step 9 is don't aim for perfection, aim for forgiveness. And the final one is such a simple one, because this is really going back to building up the positivity bank. It is just doing something simple. Get up and get moving. We know from when we did the Body Magic podcast that just standing up for an extra 5 minutes a day, how that can impact your health, how that can impact your well-being and your weight loss. So anything that you can do to get up and get moving is going to have an impact on the endorphins that are released. But also what we know, especially in lockdown, and Claire, you must have found this, sat in your office, it can be really sedentary, can't it? If you don't really set out to do it, you can just sit in your office for 10, 12 hours a day and not really, really move. So number 10 is get up and get moving.
Brilliant. So can you just run through 1 to 10 what those titles are for us?
Yes. So number 1, 3 reasons why you right now want to lose weight. Write them down, keep them focused. Step 2, a realistic aim. Step 3, focus on the process, don't focus on the end goal. Step 4, a food and mood diary. Step 5, celebrate your successes. Step 6, publicly commit. Step 7, think and talk positively. Step 8, plan for challenges and setbacks. Step 9, don't aim for perfection, aim for forgiveness. And step 10, get up and get moving.
Amazing. You know, what really jumped out for me after I went away and wrote down some of my answers for this after group, number 2, a realistic aim. I think I realised that thing where I'd said, oh, I can't eat pizza, I can't eat burgers and cakes, I can't eat takeout or delivery or anything like this. And I just realised that it stopped being fun and that wasn't really great and it wasn't realistic. It was trying to be too perfect, as you said in number 9, and it gave me just a bit of perspective, I think, to okay, let's plan the food. So actually we do want to order a pizza in, but let's have a think of how we do that, where will we get it. And to be honest, we couldn't find anywhere that could order vegan pizza on delivery where we live, so we found a vegan deli who were doing cheeseburgers, and I got like a chicken stir fry thing. So in the end we kind of found another way around it, but I just thought, rather than kind of I can't, because otherwise if I do that then I definitely am going to gain weight, it's just not realistic, is it?
Margaret often talks about the corset being too tight, and we know slimmers who put this really tight restraint on themselves really end up sabotaging themselves more than people that go, all right, do you know what? I'm going to work in the pizza. I'm going to work in the bottle of wine, because what you're telling yourself is, for me to be slim, I've got to have such a controlled and confined life that this isn't sustainable. And so you're almost defeated before you start, because you're like, I can't live like this. And that's what feels hard, because the Claire that's lost 5.5 stone has eaten out, has had cake, has had pizza. Do you know what I mean? And yeah. I think that fear talking a lot of the time, I know I felt like that. If I only eat speed free and I only have protein, I only drink water and I stand on my head, I'll get thin.
I love the way that you just say Margaret so casually. Like listeners would think, oh yeah, Margaret, that must be a mom or something. No, Margaret is the CEO. I'm not quite sure what her official title is. The founder of Slimming World.
Yeah.
And you just slip her in like you're mentioning your mom. I mean,
that's the thing about Slimming World. Like, I never believed it. You know, I come from a really hardcore industry before Slimming World where there weren't really many friends. Like, and when you walk into Slimming World and it is just like, oh, Margaret's in the restaurant. Oh, say hello to Margaret. Do you know, it is like that. It's a really big family. So, yeah.
I'm still terrified the day that we eventually get to meet her. I'm scared for Margaret. I insist that we need to create some money in our budget for security.
I've met Margaret and I've never been arrested. I've met Margaret, what, like 3 times? It's okay.
Yeah, only straight to head once, weren't you?
Yeah, only straight to head once. It's fine. I've met her 4 times, because I've met her 3 times sober and once drunk.
Well, look, I mean, there's no doubt about that. You always brighten my world, Anna. You always make me laugh and you always cheer me up.
Aww.
Thank you. I do feel better, you know, having had this little chat with you.
I think we both came on quite grumpy, didn't we? Like, me more than you, actually, because I was sat here like, you know, I feel like much better for having had a chat. And I think that's really symptomatic and or not symptomatic, or like that shows what a lot of us are feeling sometimes, just to say, oh my God, do you feel as rubbish about this as I do? Because it's really normal to feel like that. And I'll let you into a secret. The plan hasn't stopped working. There's not a sell-by date.
Yeah. Oh. Here's to continue to be fascinated and curious and tweaking it as we go and getting used to our new bodies and our new selves, I guess, and liking ourselves.
Yes.
Maybe even loving ourselves in the future.
Yeah, sounds very American, doesn't it? Like we should hug a tree and love ourselves.
No hugging, no. Fist bumps.
Yeah.
Right. That's the end.
Yeah, goodbye.
It's always on me. It's always on me to come up with some kind of.
Do you want me to do it?
Come on, then you say some fancy ending.
Thanks so much, guys, for listening today.
Don't say it cheesy. Say it normal. Come on.
I'm going to say. So coming up next week, I've got no idea what's coming up. But if you would like to get in touch, please drop us an email to slimandwellpodcast@gmail.com. Get to us on the Instagram, slimandwellpodcast. And just thanks for being here and thanks for listening. And have a great week.
That wasn't bad, actually. Thanks. Well done. It's hard, isn't it, coming up with some way to say thanks?
Yeah. Totally put on the spot.
Yeah, next week you're doing the intro.
Oh, okay, I'll prep.
Yeah, prep, baby. Right, ta-ra a bit. See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.